We are dream chasers.
And if you're motivated by the fear of being average,
then welcome home.
This is the Plan of Action podcast.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Plan of Action podcast. I'm your host for Mondays. Of course, you guys, if you've been listening, you know my name is Cody. This is episode 3, and I titled it, Why Martial Arts? For those of you that have been following the past couple episodes, you guys know that on Saturdays, Abby and I are doing our joint podcast together where we talk about things that we can both bring to the table to apply to your guys' lives. You also know that Abby's going to have her Warrior Woman Wednesdays, where she's going to talk to women specifically. And I've decided I'm going to go ahead and call Mondays Mastery Monday. Why Mastery Monday? Because as men, we need to be masters of our lives, masters of our domain. Oftentimes, we run our households. That's the way it should be. A lot of people's going to argue that. I have a very traditional state of mind. I fully support women and all that stuff. Nothing I ever say on this podcast is to put women down by any means. But I think in this era, it's important that men need to step up and be men. You see all the time, sometimes even in my own family and stuff like that, you know, there's single mothers out there that get no support from their you know, whatever you want to call them, baby daddies, ex-husbands, ex-boyfriends, things like that. And that's a big problem in the world today. And I think it's past time that men step up to the plate and start acting like men again. with that being said, that's why I'm calling this Mastery Monday. I'm here to give you the knowledge that I have and the knowledge that we're going to learn together by bringing in guest hosts on this podcast. And we're together. We're going to learn how to be better men. We're going to learn how to be more present in our lives physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And together, at the end of the day, we're going to be better men. So again, today's podcast or today's episode is going to be called Why Martial Arts? So for those of you that don't know, I'm going to be 28 years old next month. My mom started me on martial arts. I was about 4 or 5 years old. So I've been a practicing martial artist for, 23, 24 years. I've had a couple breaks every now and again, but for the most part, I'm always training. There's a couple martial arts I want to bring to the table today, actually a few. I think I've listed out about 7 different martial arts that I want to cover today. And for those of you guys that are interested in martial arts, I'm probably going to be preaching to the choir on this. Maybe you'll stick around, learn a thing or two. For those of you that have thought about martial arts, or for those of you that martial arts has never crossed your mind, it needs to cross your mind. It definitely does. You need to have the ability to protect yourselves and protect those around you. Not only is that your responsibility as a boyfriend, fiance, husband, father, that's our civic duty as men in the community. We protect our communities as well. Our protection doesn't stop at our household. We are defenders of our community. So with that being said, I'm just going to get right into it. The very first one is probably the one I'm most familiar with. The martial art I've spent the longest amount of time on in my life is Taekwondo. When I go into these martial arts, there's so many variations of every martial art out there. Like Taekwondo, there's so many variations of this Taekwondo. Personally, I took, Haisan Taekwondo. So I'm more experienced in Haisan Taekwondo than any other forms. However, most of them have these same core values. They do the same things. They just tweak them and do things slightly differently than each other. So we're going to start with Taekwondo. So what is Taekwondo? Well, it's one of the most systematic and scientific Korean traditional martial arts, and it places a heavy emphasis on more than just fighting skills, physical fighting skills. So Taekwondo is one of those where the first thought that's going to pop into most people's heads is it's all about kicking. That's not necessarily the case. Now, while Taekwondo is most notably known for kicking, it does a lot more than just kicking or even just the physical fighting skills. It's a discipline that shows ways of enhancing our spirit and life through training our body and mind. As you guys may or may not know, it's actually an Olympic sport. It's a very, very competitive martial art. So Taekwondo translates to Tai, Kwan, and Do. Tai stands for foot or leg. Kwan stands for fist or fight. Do stands for the way or discipline. So if you think about it, Taekwondo stands for the way of your feet or legs, and fist or fighting. So it's the way of fighting. It's bigger on self-defense rather than physical fighting, though, although it can be very effective as a fighting discipline as well. The biggest emphasis I can say that Taekwondo brings to the table is self-defense. It's designed to control or calm down fights while keeping the pace. It emphasizes self-defense, flexibility, primary striking with kicks, secondary striking with punches, and you can also use various weapons. The most notable Taekwondo fighters in MMA today involve Valentina Bullet Shevchenko, Rosa Namajunas, and Anthony Pettis. If any of you guys watch UFC or anything like that, a lot of these people I'm listing are UFC fighters because they're well-known people. If I start naming Olympic-level Taekwondo fighters, most of you guys aren't going to know who they are. So again, Shevchenko. I'm probably going to butcher these names, by the way. There's a lot of names I listed on here that's kind of hard to pronounce. Rose Namajunas and Anthony Pettis. So growing up doing Taekwondo, where I started at, I wasn't the most flexible kid when I first started. Of course, you know, I'm just a kid. Even now, fighting-wise, I love to throw kicks. My kicks are powerful. My kicks are fast. I'm very flexible. I can head kick and not skip a beat. Those are things that Taekwondo brings to the table. It's a very, very solid martial art. It's a good base to have. The drawbacks, I would say, on Taekwondo is you have to get into a specific discipline of Taekwondo that is focused on more than just competition. If you think about Taekwondo sparring, for example, if you're sparring in Taekwondo, you normally have the body pad, the shin pads, and the feet pads that, you know, they're connected, the shin pads that protect the feet as well. We also have the headgear too, protective headgear. You wear mouth guards, all that good stuff. You can wear cups. So the way a traditional Taekwondo sparring session would go is two people start off on separate ends. And the coach or whoever's in charge, the instructor, the professor is going to say, you know, fight, go. And they're going to go until they score the first kick. It could be punching, kicking, whatever it might be. But for example, say I land a head kick on my opponent. As soon as that head kick lands, I'm going to get 2 points. I'm going to go back to my side. They're going to go back to their side. And we're going to reset. For this reason, although Taekwondo brings a lot to the table, I wouldn't necessarily say that Taekwondo is the most efficient martial art for pure self-defense or for actual street fighting. It'll help you maintain distance. It will give you some very lethal kicks. But at the same time, the way that Taekwondo is designed as a sport and as a discipline doesn't necessarily correlate to modern contemporary fighting. Again, I do recommend Taekwondo as I'm a little bit biased because it's what I started off with, but in real life fighting situations, other than being able to throw a powerful kick here and there, it really hasn't benefited me that much. So we're going to move on to the second discipline now, which is karate. A lot of you are probably familiar with karate too. I think Taekwondo and karate are probably, they're definitely among the most popular martial arts disciplines here in the United States. So karate is a Japanese martial art, which has physical aspects ingrained in the development of defense and counterattacking body movements. The themes of traditional karate training are fighting and self-defense, similar to Taekwondo, though its mental and moral aspects target the overall improvement of the individual. This is facilitated by the discipline and persistent efforts required in training. Most karate branches would agree that in karate, you never attack first. It's full of counterattacks. if we translate karate, we have kara and te. Kara means empty, te means hand. So if you put those together, it's the art of an empty hand. So whereas if I am training in taekwondo, typically I'm trained with more of a closed fist. In karate, unless I'm throwing a punch, my hand is normally relaxed and open. This gives me a lot more ability to deflect things and set up counterattacks. Some of the most well-known karate fighters in mixed martial arts are Steven Wonderboy Thompson, George St. Pierre, or GSP, Lyoto Machida, Chuck Iceman Liddell, and Robert Whittaker. Karate probably has different, more sub-styles than taekwondo does. For example, just a few of them off the top of my head, you have, and I'm probably going to completely mess up the pronunciations on these, but I've always pronounced them Shotokan, Goju Ryu, Shito Ryu, and Wado Ryu. However, out of all of these disciplines, if you're looking to get fit or start to have more self-discipline or find a community, then I'm going to say, you know, really any type of karate is going to help you do that. It's all going to help you with self-defense. But if you're really looking for, you know, I really want to be able to defend myself and others in a street fight and things like that, if you're leaning towards karate, I'm going to say Kyokushin. I probably messed that up too. But Kyokushin karate is one that GSP, George St. Pierre, specializes in. And you can see just how well he utilizes that in the octagon of the UFC. Kyokushin karate focuses on that full contact competition, or not, I wouldn't say competition as well, but it translates very well into real world situations. So I'm going to put taekwondo and karate pretty much there at the same level. And after I finished up my training in taekwondo and I got my second degree black belt, I wound up moving to karate. And in karate is where I got my first degree black belt before I moved on to other things. But I think for me personally, taekwondo was very structured, very traditional, very like everything was set with a certain code and rules and things like that. It was just a very traditional martial art, whereas karate was more fluid. It seemed more, it seems like it's had more updates to bring it up to speed with what goes on now. For example, with karate, we would practice with, of course, they were training knives, but knives. And that's something that you actually might find yourself in a situation here in real world. You might have a knife drawn on you versus taekwondo, where they're still training with swords. They're training with bow staffs, nunchucks, and things like that. That stuff, there's nothing wrong with that. There really isn't. But at the same time, I can't think of a situation if there's an active shooter or something like that when I'm in the middle of Walmart and I'm going to say, hey, let me whip out my bow staff or my nunchucks and let me take this guy out. It's not very practical. It's more traditional. It's in the spirit of history, things like that. Whereas karate is a little bit more modern. Okay, we're going to move on to the next one. The next one, number three, is Muay Thai. Muay Thai is also called Thai boxing or Thai combat. It's known as the art of eight limbs, which refers to eight points of contact using fists, elbows, knees, and shins. Modern Muay Thai resembles kickboxing with added elbows and knees. We'll talk about kickboxing a little bit later on. It is currently in the process of becoming an Olympic sport. I think that's actually going to happen here in the very near future. They've done all the vetting process they need to have. So that'd be the second martial art that's become an Olympic sport in addition to taekwondo. Of course, you got, you know, wrestling and things like that as well. But as far as our list goes, that's the second one. So it's one of the most effective contact combat martial arts. It builds the mind and confidence. And there's an argument to be made that any sort of martial art you do builds the mind and confidence, because you're going to have to undergo rigorous physical training and mental development. And all these things are going to build your self-confidence, because you build self-confidence through practice and you know what you're capable of, and you're more confident in your abilities to defend yourself. You know, it doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in. If you know martial arts, you're going to be a lot more confident and competent as an individual. Many attest that it has had that it has the ability to beat out all other forms of martial arts. So Muay Thai is widely regarded as the most dominant striking martial art there is in the world. Reason being is because they utilize so many different parts of the body. If you look so let's say a UFC fight, because UFC fights are pretty much, aside from bare knuckle boxing, UFC fights are pretty much where you take different styles of martial arts and you put them to the real world test. You know, there's rules in place and things like that, but it really doesn't get a whole lot more real than an MMA fight, a UFC type fight, or Bellator, Strikeforce, ONE Championship, Invicta, any of those. Personally, my favorite's UFC, so I always go back to UFC. The UFC is also my favorite sport to watch, with football being my second. there's an intense camaraderie that's often developed among teammates. I would say you got Muay Thai, wrestling, and jiu-jitsu is the ones I would say builds the most camaraderie out of any of them. They're also probably among the most difficult martial arts to learn as far as the rigors of training go. It's very, very rigorous training. In fact, it's so rigorous that oftentimes it's very common for a Muay Thai practitioner to burn 1,000 calories in a 1 hour training session. And there's not really very many other martial arts that can claim that. And that's very typical. That's very common for them to build that type of endurance, that type of strength, that type of effectiveness as a Muay Thai fighter. The training sessions are very intense. It's fast, it's efficient, and it's powerful. It's tested in both competition and real life situations for hundreds of years. This has been going on a long time in Thailand. Back, of course, Muay Thai. Thai stands short for Thailand. It's effective in all ranges of stand-up fighting. It's effective in all ranges because you do everything from leg kicks all the way up to head kicks, gut punches, all the way up to the punches in the face. You can put people in the clinch, and then you start kneeing them. It's just the most well-rounded, all-encompassing stand-up fighting martial arts discipline. Some of the most well-known Muay Thai practitioners are Darren Till, Jose Aldo, Edson Barboza, Chris Cyborg, Anderson Silva. I'm going to mess this one up so bad. Joanna Jurcevic, I think is how you pronounce her name. She's the one that lost the title to Rose Namajunas in the UFC. She's a little bulldog, but Anderson Silva, I would argue, is probably the most well-known Muay Thai practitioner. He absolutely dominated his weight class in the UFC for years using Muay Thai. Of course, he knows a lot more than that, but his fallback, his primary fighting art is Muay Thai. You can see him, Muay Thai fighters use a lot of, trying to figure out how to word this, their kicks look a lot different than Taekwondo kicks. Taekwondo kicks, a lot of our kicks in Taekwondo are kind of circular, like you can think of like a roundhouse kick and things like that. And Muay Thai has those kicks too, but they like to control distance using quick, snappy front kicks in place of jabs and things like that. And of course, they have jabs too, but it's a very quick, effective, and efficient martial art. I also would argue that it really could possibly be the absolute most dominant stand-up striking martial art. Okay, we're going to go ahead and go on to the next one. Number four is judo. So judo is a Japanese martial art that is a derivative of various martial arts developed and used by samurais and feudal warrior classes. The techniques of judo were modified from their original versions from their parental martial arts in order to allow students to practice and apply techniques safely and without hurting each other. Judo does not involve kicking, punching, or striking of any kind. It's kind of odd. It literally, there's no kicking, punching, or striking in judo. Judo does not involve pressure points or joint locks. Judo involves no equipment or weapons of any sort. A typical training session in judo involves two individuals facing each other who grip each other's uniforms and use the forces of balance, power, and movement to attempt to subdue each other. It's simple and basic. However, within simplicity lies its complexity. So it's kind of like playing a guitar. Playing a guitar it's fairly easy to pick up a guitar and learn the most simple songs on it. You know, it's fairly easy to learn how to play guitar if you just, apply yourself a little bit. However, mastering a guitar is difficult. And this is a martial art example of that. Judo is very easy to pick up and learn, but it's very, very hard to master even the most basic throws, the judo throws. The mastery of even the most basic of judo techniques takes a considerable amount of time, effort, and energy, which involves rigorous physical and mental training. If we look at the definition of judo, we have ju and do. Ju stands for gentle, and do stands the way or discipline. Together, it is the gentle way. Judo develops strength, flexibility, agility, speed, dynamic and static balance, explosive power, and endurance. Most judo students, through training, become physically bigger, stronger, and faster through their practice of their art. Some of the most well-known judo practitioners, Ronda Rousey, Yoshihiro Akiyama, Caro Parisian, Hector Lombard, and Dong-hyun Kim. These names are so hard when they're foreign. The easiest one, or the most popular one by far, without a doubt, is Ronda Rousey. If you ever watch a UFC with Ronda Rousey, she's very good at judo and she's very good at jiu-jitsu, and most of her fights are won by getting in close with her opponent, and she hip tosses them. All those throws that Ronda Rousey uses are judo. If you notice, she's gonna make her opponent land hard, but she really didn't do anything to hurt them. All she did was use their own balance against them. Judo's big on manipulating balance. And manipulating this balance is what you do to hip toss your opponent or do a leg toss or anything like that where you end up in a dominant position on top of them. And from there, she always went into her jiu-jitsu and began with her submission work. The next one, speaking of jiu-jitsu, is jiu-jitsu. Number 5, jiu-jitsu. Brazilian jiu-jitsu is a martial art based on grappling and ground fighting, focusing on the skill of controlling one's opponent through techniques that forces them to submit. Its key skill is allowing smaller and weaker individuals to use leverage and submissions to defend themselves against bigger opponents. I think that is the key thing to know in regards to jiu-jitsu. Maybe I'm a little bit biased because I'm a jiu-jitsu practitioner as well. That's what I do mostly nowadays. Is jiu-jitsu, and it's because I see the value in jiu-jitsu. If I could go back to being a kid again and start this whole martial arts journey over, absolutely, I would make my base, rather than taekwondo, I would make my base jiu-jitsu. Especially, I wouldn't say I'm a small guy. I'm fairly average, but I'm kind of skinnier. And we'll talk about, Modern Army Combatives program. That's not even on my list because that's a military specific one. And that's a combination of all these martial art disciplines thrown together. But my fallback that I've always had is never taekwondo or karate. It's always jiu-jitsu. I'm the most comfortable oftentimes when I'm the smaller person in a fight. I'm more comfortable taking the fight to the ground and working my way around them. whether that's defending myself or setting myself to a dominant body position, because I take a lot of their strength and power and size away from them by putting them on the ground. Its origins are rooted in both judo and Japanese jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu traditionally is actually Japanese. It has been most notably adapted by the Gracie family. Most of you listening probably know who the Gracie family is, and put on display during the early days of the UFC. So the Gracies developed, they took this Japanese jiu-jitsu and turned it into Brazilian jiu-jitsu or Gracie jiu-jitsu. Its popularity has been steadily on the rise thanks to its effectiveness and through MMA. And its effectiveness is demonstrated beautifully through MMA. You can go back to the first UFC fights and look how Royce Gracie absolutely dominated his opponents. He was a fairly average-sized guy, and he would go against Ken Shamrock, who was a very experienced professional wrestler. And when I say professional wrestler, I don't mean like WWF, WWE, anything like that. Like he was a big wrestler, and a lot of wrestlers that you come across are big, burly, strong, all that stuff. And Royce Gracie just had his way with Ken Shamrock. The techniques you learn in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu focus on taking your opponents down to the ground and keeping them there. This enables you to defend yourself and attack from a dominant body position. Anybody, and I do mean anybody, can practice jiu-jitsu. You know, there's tons of kids' classes out there for jiu-jitsu and everything like that. It's a very safe martial art. One of the biggest things about jiu-jitsu as well that I personally like, you can train at 100%. At Taekwondo, I can't head kick my opponent as hard as I possibly can because I'm going to hurt them. However, in jiu-jitsu, I can go as hard as I want against my opponent. The only thing that you've got to be careful on is when you get them into headlocks and joint locks and submissions, anything like any knee bars, arm bars, any of those things. You got to be careful when you go there because I'm not going to go 100 and immediately go to break the arm. You know, that's my teammate. That's my opponent, but that's my teammate. It's my sparring partner. But up until the point where you get the submission locked in, it's 100%. This is an absolute monster of a calorie burner because you're putting in 100% effort all the time. It sharpens the mind. It's commonly known as the game of human chess. It's a very, very mental game. You have to create strategies, learn strategies, you implement these strategies, and you make these strategies your own. So a lot of times when you're going through different body positions, you eventually get to the point of time where you have your own way of doing things. Like, you know, hey, when I get on the ground, I immediately want to take the guard. As soon as they try to pass it, my favorite thing to do, you know, I'm going to go get them in a triangle choke or something like that. Everyone has their own little thing that they like to do with jiu-jitsu. There's so many techniques involved with jiu-jitsu that you're really never going to master them all. As soon as you start that journey in jiu-jitsu, you have to know, hey, I'm never going to be a master at this. But you know what I can do? I can take a few techniques that I learned and I can become a master in those techniques because I'm going to use them all the time. So strategy and technique is almost always utilized to beat your opponent. As I said earlier, it's an awesome workout. Your body will continue to change without you realizing it. You'll be so focused mentally on learning new techniques that you don't realize how hard you're working or how flexible you're becoming. You become incredibly flexible doing jiu-jitsu just like Taekwondo. It dominates in MMA. And the one thing to note with that, if you look at any top MMA fighters, all the top MMA fighters they're very high-level jiu-jitsu practitioners. Most of them actually have black belts in jiu-jitsu. It promotes continuous self-improvement. You'll learn lessons on the mat that will translate into your daily life. You start doing jiu-jitsu, you're going to find yourself in situations, maybe you're getting choked out or something like that, and you look at some of your issues you do in real life, and you're like, you know what? I was getting choked out earlier today. This is not a big deal. You know, it's really not. Some of the most popular, well-known jiu-jitsu practitioners are Damian Maya, Mackenzie Dern, obviously Royce Gracie, the Diaz brothers, Nick and Nate Diaz, and Brian Ortega. One thing I would note with this too is that your team, that you your jiu-jitsu team that you train with every day, they really do become a part of your family. There's a definite camaraderie there, and you build lifelong friends. So that's my take on jiu-jitsu. I highly, highly recommend jiu-jitsu. But right now, at this point in time, I'm going to take a break, and you're going to hear a word from our sponsors. So stay tuned afterwards, and we're going to keep going down this list.
Hey, guys. I want to tell you about this incredible resource called Anchor. If any of you have ever wanted to create a podcast, then Anchor is for you. It's completely free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum required listeners. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one simple place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. One more time, download the free Anchor app in the App Store or Google Play Store, or go to anchor.fm to get started.
All right, guys, next on the list is number six. I just kind of threw two different ones together because they're very similar. We have boxing and kickboxing. Most of you guys listening, even if you're not into martial arts, pretty much all of you guys know what boxing and kickboxing are. Boxing, of course, is known as the sweet science. So boxing, of course, you know, you put on your whatever they may be, 12, 14, 16 ounce gloves. And it's all about angles and levels. It is strictly punching. You're not using elbows. You're not using your legs at all as a mode of striking. Anything like that, fights do not go to the ground. It's simply teaching you the most effective and efficient way to throw punches. With that being said, you learn to find openings in your opponent's guards. You learn how to throw feints. With that said, angles and levels, you learn how to change angles, move from directly in front of your opponent to maybe a 45-degree angle to the left to find an opening. Levels, maybe you throw a couple jabs at the opponent's face and you see, oh, hey, you know what? Their stomach is open or their side is open. So you learn how to change your levels and drop down. Maybe you throw a hook or maybe you throw a straight in their abdomen. That's essentially what boxing is. Boxing is a very powerful tool to have on your side in a stand-up striking game. I would argue that boxers, traditional boxers, throw stronger and faster punches than traditional Muay Thai fighters. However, that's all that boxing brings to the table, is simply throwing punches. In a street fight, I would say that boxing can be very, very effective, especially if you see a bunch of guys that are fighting. They always want to throw an immediate haymaker or an immediate knockout punch. And if you're a trained boxer, you're going to find an immediate opening in an untrained fighter. Kickboxing, on the other hand, is almost exactly like boxing, but now you bring kicks into the equation. So think of everything that a boxer does, but now add legs into the equation. So not only am I going to throw jabs at your face or straight at your abdomen, I'm going to change my levels, look for angles. I'm going to move around and try to stay efficient. My footwork is big. But now I'm going to throw a couple leg kicks in there. Now you're going to have to worry, am I going to throw a punch next or am I going to throw a kick next? Is my kick going to go low? Is it going to go middle? Is it going to go high? It's just more tools at your disposal to keep them guessing. For that reason, I would put kickboxing as higher than boxing in regards to self-defense and in regards to fitness, because punches are not going to burn as much calories as using your legs are. You're going to burn more calories throwing kicks than you would with just punches. You're using more of your body. It's the same type of science behind why leg days whenever you're lifting. A leg days, doing legs is going to burn a lot more calories than just doing arms. I'm also going to put it higher up on the self-defense level because you bring more to the table. You're more lethal, you are more dangerous, and you're more of a fine-tuned weapon because you are bringing more to the table. So some famous, I would say boxers or kickboxers, I guess, especially in the UFC, you're going to have, of course, Conor McGregor, Cody Garbrandt, the Diaz brothers, Nick and Nate Diaz. They're great boxers as well as jiu-jitsu practitioners. John Jones. John Jones also uses quite a bit of Muay Thai. He's really good with his elbows. TJ Dillashaw, who's also a good wrestler. Jorge Masvidal, also a good wrestler. And Holly Holm, which is probably the most famous kickboxer. Overall, I can't really say there's anything wrong with boxing or kickboxing. They're both excellent martial art disciplines, and that's why I added them to this list. While I might rank some over the other, if you are looking at doing martial arts, if you get into any one of these, you're doing really well for yourself. You're really setting yourself up. The last one on my list that I'm going to talk about is just traditional wrestling. I will say that this is last on my list. This list isn't in any particular order, by the way. I just kind of, you know, I just kind of wrote down what I was thinking at the time. And as I said, I'm not real familiar with wrestling. I know that in any time I've went up against wrestlers, they always seem like they're little hulks, like they are just these gargantuan beings. They're very strong, they're very powerful, and I know that wrestling develops that in an individual. And I don't know if maybe a lot of wrestlers were just kind of physically gifted prior to becoming wrestlers, and when they did wrestling, they found out that that's the right place for them, or if they developed a lot of that through wrestling. And I'm going to say it's probably a combination of both. But wrestling is a combat sport involving grappling style techniques such as clinch fighting, throws and takedowns, joint locks, pins, and other grappling holds. So the purpose of wrestling is similar to jiu-jitsu, where you want to get into a dominant body position, but in competition wrestling, you want to get them in a pin. So you want to pin their backs to the ground. That is the end-all, be-all dominant body position of wrestling. However, in jiu-jitsu, that's only the start. That's where you really start doing your work. Some of the most famous, well-known wrestlers are Daniel Cormier, Khabib Nurmagomedov, Rashad Evans, Phil Davis, Chris Weidman, Henry Cejudo, and Yoel Romero. So like I said, I don't really have a whole lot to say about wrestling, but I know wrestling is incredibly beneficial, especially most fights. I would say damn near every fight that you're going to find yourself in the street, like a street fight or real world scenario, damn near all of them are going to go to the ground. So unless you get that knockout punch that puts him on the ground, or puts your opponent on the ground, you better hope it knocked him out. Otherwise, that fight's going to go to the ground. And if you don't have any sort of jiu-jitsu or wrestling tools in your toolbox, you're in for a world of pain when you get to the ground. I have a couple honorable mentions I'd like to mention on here. One of them is Krav Maga. I'm not real experienced with Krav Maga either. I will say that Krav Maga was developed by the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, which is the military force of the country of Israel. It focuses on, I would say, a dirty street fighting aspect. So Krav Maga doesn't train for these, like all these competitions like Taekwondo and stuff do. They literally train for what you're going to come up against in a legit street fight. Krav Maga uses, they use, you know, practice knives, they use guns, things like that. Things you'll really come across in a real world situation. There's not a whole lot of rules in Krav Maga, such as, you know, they emphasize poking people's eyes. They emphasize, you know, kicking a dude in the balls and things like that. These are things that in a real world situation, you know, if you're walking down the street with your wife or you're in Target with your wife, and if a guy doesn't pull up a gun or something like that and they just start going after you, well, you're not going to be caring about honor and all this other stuff. You're going to be eliminating this threat. And that's exactly what Krav Maga trains you to do, is eliminate this threat. But if you do get pulled, if they do pull out a knife or a gun on you, things like that, Krav Maga also trains for that as well. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I did want to add it to the list so you guys can look into that a little bit more and see if that might be a good fit for what you're trying to do. There is a PT routine, physical training routine, at the beginning of most Krav Maga schools, their daily course of instruction. It's very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of organized, structured, militaristically speaking, because if you keep in mind, Krav Maga is the go-to martial art for Israel's military. So keep that in mind. It's gonna help you get more fit as well. And then the last honorable mention I have is MMA. So MMA is obviously mixed martial arts. And I would say it's something that has evolved heavily over the past 20, 30 years. Back in UFC 1, for example, MMA was more of a blanket term for, you know, we're going to put two different people in the octagon. One is a great boxer and one is a great wrestler. We're going to throw them in the fray and see which discipline's better. No weight classes, nothing like that. But today's MMA is a lot different. You'll go to, you can literally go to Google and just type in MMA nearby. See what's nearby you and within the realms of MMA. And a lot of MMA classes today throw a lot of these disciplines that I've been talking about this evening. They throw them all together and you just kind of, you start at the ground level on these and you slowly build your way up in each one. Obviously, this is going to take years upon years and an entire lifetime to get really, 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 really good at. If you're not at the professional level and you just have all these trainers and coaches that you can hire because you're financially well off and everything like that. However, it's a good base to kind of, I would almost recommend it to start with an MMA class to get a feel for each one of these martial art disciplines and see which one kind of piques your interest the most. That way you can focus more in that direction, because most gyms that they teach MMA, they don't just teach MMA. Normally that's like a Saturday class. Whereas Monday to Friday, they're getting into all these disciplines. I know American Top Team here in Atlanta, they have an MMA class on Saturdays. However, it's like every day of the week you have a jiu-jitsu class, whether it's gi or no gi. And I know I didn't talk about that very much earlier in jiu-jitsu, but in jiu-jitsu you have gi and no gi. That's your uniform that you wear while you're practicing jiu-jitsu. Two different types. They're both equally important. I would say don't go so deep into no gi and then you forget to do gi or vice versa. You need to try to stay, keep them kind of level. If you are in a real world situation and you're fairly decent at no gi fighting, well, you're going to find out, hey, you know what? Maybe a few of my techniques that I know don't work because this guy's not wearing a gi. He's wearing a t-shirt and shorts. That's not to say that you're not going to have a bunch of other tools at your disposal that will work, but you don't want to sell yourself short. If you have the ability to train for that, you might as well train for that too. That way, if you get into a fight where there's shorts and a t-shirt, well, if you're training no-gi jiu-jitsu, you're used to not having materials and things like that to grab onto to complete chokes and submissions and things like that. But back to MMA. MMA is just a combination of a bunch of different martial arts thrown together that are all geared towards self-defense and combat sports. So now that I've covered the disciplines of martial arts that I wanted to talk about, we need to talk about why you need to learn martial arts. So With my train of thought, martial arts are simply a secondary asset. The main asset that I use personally, you need to carry, and we'll go into this on later podcasts, you need to be carrying a gun on you. You need to conceal carry, especially if you live in America. If you live in the United States, the Second Amendment, which shall not be infringed, by the way, secures your right to conceal carry or open carry in some places. Personally, I don't recommend open carrying because if shit ever hits the fan, if you're open carrying, you're probably target number one. If there's a gunman and an active shooter, an armed guy that's going to come in and do a bunch of crimes and murder a bunch of people, they probably don't want you shooting back at them. So you're probably going to get shot first. You always want to have the element of surprise on your hands. With that being said, if you're a martial artist, you don't want to be telling the whole world. I know it's kind of ironic that I'm saying that as I'm telling the whole world through a podcast, but on a day-to-day basis, I don't go around flaunting that I have black belts. That's no one really needs to know that. If they ever try to fight me or something like that, I guarantee you by the end of the fight, they're going to believe that I have a couple black belts. But you need to have that element of surprise on your hand. So with that being said, you should conceal carry. If there's an active shooter in whatever place you're shopping at, you're not going to run up to them and stop down in front of them and get on the ground and say, "Hey, get my guard. You know, I'm a jiu-jitsu fighter. Get my guard." Yeah, he's just going to shoot you in the fucking balls. It's probably not the best way. But there is a time and place for martial arts, and there's a time and place to conceal carry. And martial arts is just one more tool. It's a massive tool in your toolbox, and it increases, you know, it helps all these different aspects of becoming more present in your life. That through training, you become more physically fit, which makes you more physically present in your life. If you're trying to build muscle, well, you're going to start building a little bit of muscle. You're not going to get ripped or anything by doing martial arts, but you're going to build a little bit of muscle. You're damn sure going to lose a bunch of fat. You're going to be around a lot of like-minded people, and these like-minded people are going to motivate you to be better, just like you are going to do for them. They become your family. It builds a community, and everybody needs to be in a community of some sort that is all aimed at bettering themselves. This helps you become more mentally present in life. Not only that, now you have self-confidence building up in your abilities to defend yourselves and others, which makes you even more mentally present. And if you're feeling good about yourself and you have a good support group behind you, you're going to be more emotionally present. So these are important things as to why you need to do martial arts, especially as a man. Every man should have the ability to defend themselves and their families. What are you going to do if you're strolling down Walmart with your wife and your child and some dude comes up and just starts piecing you up? He's talking trash to you. Maybe he said your wife is hot and you're like, "Hey man, don't call my wife hot." Next thing you know, you're getting your ass kicked in front of your wife. No one needs to be in that situation. I mean, there's a certain amount of de-escalation should have happened prior to that. But that's another thing that martial art teaches, is that it teaches humility and being humble and being self-confident and being peaceful and having harmony, and all these things are important. The best fight that you can have as a martial artist is the one that never has to happen, that you can talk your way out of. And if it becomes a physical confrontation and communication has failed, then you've got to do what you've got to do. But a true martial artist knows that fighting is the absolute worst case scenario to any situation. So you guys have really, really got to find a martial art that you like. And you really got to start training. You owe it to yourself, you owe it to your community, and you owe it to your family to do that. Not only that, as you progress through the belts and the rankings and all that stuff like that, you get a small sense of pride. Don't let it go to your head and become egotistical or arrogant. But these are things, these little wins in your life are things that will keep you going and keep you motivated and develop this self-discipline that we've talked about to stay on the path of achieving your dreams and your goals. It's going to keep you on the path to help you become more mentally resilient and physically able to overcome your fears and stay on the path. I can't tell you guys how important martial arts is. You look at a lot of situations where you see a video camera capturing a kidnapper who, you know, kidnaps a college girl and things like that. And granted, most people nowadays are glued to their cell phones, and that's a completely different topic talking about situational awareness. But most of the time when you got like a college student or something like that, a high schooler that gets kidnapped, they don't even know what's going on because they were glued to their phone and they weren't aware of their surroundings. Next thing you know, they're face to face with a kidnapper. And because this poor girl or this poor guy or whatever's going on doesn't have any means to defend themselves, they just cry and scream and give up. And you know, they just, there's no altercation. They don't stand up for themselves. They don't really fight back. And if they do fight back, it's kicks and slaps and scratches, and it's just not very effective. If any one of those individuals that found themselves in that position could freeze frame, they would think, oh my God, I wish I would have started training. I wish I would have learned something to help me in this situation rather than being face to face. And you know what? I'm probably never going to get to tell, you know, my wife, my kid, my mom, my dad, whatever it might be, I'm never going to tell them I love them again. And that's how their story ends. But the thing is that it's the same situation with you guys. It could happen to us at any point of time. When the active shooter went into Walmart, plenty of those people would have wished they could freeze frame and say, man, I really should have invested in getting a firearm. I really should have been training with my firearm. It's the same thing. We can't choose or dictate or pick when we're going to get attacked. You just can't. That's a fact of life. So with that being said, you need to make sure you are trained, you are training, you are confident, you are capable, you are able, you are a man. So if the worst does happen to you, you don't have to freeze frame and look at your life with regrets knowing that you're not going to make it home that night. No, fuck that. You are going to make it home tonight because you made the decision to start pursuing martial arts now. You made the decision to go out and buy a handgun. You made the decision to start training. It makes no sense to buy something if you don't train. It makes no sense to buy a Glock if you're not going to train with a Glock. It makes no sense to buy a membership to a martial arts gym if you're not going to train martial arts. It doesn't make sense to buy a gym membership to Planet Fitness. I don't care if it's $10 a month if you're not going to get your ass in there and train. What are you waiting for? Your life is passing you by. Opportunity is passing you by. No one is going to hold your hand. And as a man, no one is going to hold your hand. As a man, people are going to have expectations of you. And it is your job to put the excuses to the side, because fuck excuses. Excuses get you nowhere in life, and start taking action. And that's why this podcast is called Plan of Action. This is us calling you to action in order for you to take advantage of your life and take it in the direction that you need it to go as a man, for yourself, for your family, for your community, for your friends. Get to where you need to go. If where you need to go would be beneficial if you started taking martial arts, then make that a priority in your life. Become more present in your life. That's all I have for this week, gentlemen. So I kind of enjoy talking to you guys. Actually, that was a lot more enjoyable than I thought it would. I thought it was a little bit weird at first because Abby wasn't here next to me this time. And I was kind of hoping I didn't make a fool out of myself as I was saying this. In later podcasts, I know I say this all the time, but you know, we just started. In later podcasts, I would really like to go into more detail about these disciplines of martial arts instead of just a brief overview. But that's really all this was meant to do, is give you a brief overview, kind of talk quickly about each of these martial arts and you know, what they are, what they plan to accomplish, how they accomplish it. That way you guys got a better idea in case someone out there didn't know what Muay Thai was. Now you know what Muay Thai is. And if any of those piqued your interest, really, guys, go to Google, reach out and talk to people. You're going to see that most martial art instructors, they're very humble people, most of them. There's some bad ones out there too. There's bad eggs in every bunch. But you're going to find another extended family, and it's going to be a really great situation, and I can't recommend it enough. So again, thank you guys for tuning in to episode 3 of Plan of Action Podcast, our very first Mastery Monday, why martial arts. And like I said, in the future, we're going to keep going down this path and become better and more capable men that are more present in our lives. I think that's all I've got. And, you know, keep in mind, next week, as of right now, I still plan on getting with, the owner of Becoming Wolves. And we're going to start talking about emotional intelligence and Jungian psychology. And I think that's going to be a really great episode for you guys. For you ladies out there, if you're listening, or, you know, if you have a woman in your life that you think could benefit from the podcast, make sure that she tunes in on Wednesday for Abby's Woman Warrior Wednesday podcast. And then even this Saturday, we already have a podcast that we're working on right now. It's going to cover the 5 love languages. And I know you guys are like, ew, and stuff like that. Trust me, I was the same way. But at the same time, these things are important, guys. These things are really important. There's nothing we're going to bring to this podcast that we haven't really thought out. And you know, everything we bring here is something that we know is going to be beneficial for you guys in your lives, in your relationships, in your communities, in your marriages, whatever it might be. So, again, thank you guys for supporting us always. And I hope that this podcast is doing what it's supposed to do. And some of you guys are, you know, some of you guys are getting more motivated. Some of you guys are kind of feeling like, you know what, you know, this guy's right. You know, I really need to take charge of my life. I need to be more present. There's things that's wrong in my life. And you know what, I'm going to listen to his podcast, and I'm going to see if there's something he can say that's going to help us out. He said, I just spent about an hour of my time talking to you guys. If I even helped out one single person, then it's completely worth the hour time that we took here. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up, guys. This is Cody from Plan of Action Podcast. Thank you guys for staying tuned and listening to the message. As always, you guys stay safe, stay blessed, and Plan of Action Podcast out.